You are listening to The Healthy Living Code, a podcast created for active people of the triangle who value their health and will do anything to protect it. Before we begin, if you currently suffer from pain, head over to thepainreliefbook.com and download a copy of our free book, How to Get Rid of Pain and Back to Living an Active Life Without Pain Medications, Injections, and Surgery. Now here's your host, the owner of Kaizen Physical Therapy, Dr. Derek Nielsen.
Welcome back to the Healthy Living Code. Today I have Rebecca Menitzis here in Durham. She's actually the owner of the Medical Massage Clinic of Durham. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time.
Sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background? I know that you've got a PhD. Just tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how you came to be the owner of the Medical Massage Clinic of Durham.
Okay. So I have a PhD in organic chemistry and was a chemist for 10 years prior to becoming a massage therapist. And a lot of people wonder why in the world you switched. And mine was, I used to be a martial artist as well. So I would get injured, because when you're a martial artist, a lot of times that happens.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky enough to go to a body worker, and he would help get my elbow back organized or my shoulder not so dislocated and all this other kind of stuff. And over time, we became friends, and he taught something called Reiki. I don't know if you know much about Reiki.
Yeah.
It's an energy medicine type thing. And I was interested because in martial arts, sensitivity training, where you need to be able to read the room and know where the attack is coming next, is very much about reading energy and body language. And so I decided to go ahead with some friends from the dojo and practice or go to a class for Reiki. And it was interesting. As a scientist, that was like really woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something there that I don't really have a great way to explain how it works besides quantum mechanics, but we're not going to go there. So then I decided, after 6 months, I decided to go ahead and take the second level of that. And in that class, I realized that I needed to have my hands on people. And it's not pretty, and it's not PC, and all the other kind of stuff, but I needed to find a way that I could be in communion and a way to help people feel better in their bodies. And that's when massage came up. So 2 weeks later, I was in massage school, and a year later, I stopped chemistry. And so that's how I started. Now, that was 15 years ago. So building up and creating the Medical Massage Clinic of Durham took a little longer than the 2 weeks and then the school. I worked on my own for about 6 years, just very part-time. I did part-time chemistry. I did part-time teaching at the massage school. I did part-time massage, and I was a mother as well. So I had these two new babies, and I was trying to figure all that out. So about, let's see, 8 years ago, I decided to go to massage full-time. And I started back out at a spa down the road, and was lucky enough to get to work there for about 2.5 years. And then after that, had trained for medical massage during that time, and found the desire to really just move into helping people get through their pain and what can massage do to help support that. And so then I moved out on my own after that and got a different office, was a solo practitioner for about 3.5-4 years, and realized that people were calling, I couldn't get them on my schedule, and they would ask me, who would you recommend? Rebecca, if I can't get on your schedule, who would you recommend? And I'm like, I don't know. And so I was like, well, why don't I figure it out? And so I was able to find some advanced therapists, and we train together, and we ask each other questions. We make sure we have each other's palpatory literacy really high level. And the interest here is that any therapist that is at the massage clinic here will be able to handle your situation. The more complicated, the better.
Yeah, so what exactly separates, or what's the difference between medical massage and then if I were to just go to a massage clinic?
Mm-hmm. So mainly specificity. So in that, what I mean is when you go to get a Swedish massage, nice relaxation massage, they're fabulous. They're really, Swedish massage is excellent at helping with stress levels, bringing those down. If you have a little bit of an anxiety disorder, Swedish massage is fabulous. Medical massage is a little bit more in tune with if you have strained a muscle and you're healing from that. Not like right now, I strained my muscle this morning, I need you to fix it. No, go ice it, do your rest, all that kind of stuff, 48 hours, and then you can come in and talk with us. But we're more interested in helping you rebalance around a joint, or helping you through an injury, or if you have a chronic pain pattern because you have scoliosis. Okay, well then we can help because we have specificity. We know where the muscles are contracting, and then we can help support opening those up. But especially if you have a chronic condition, we always want you to either have a physical therapist or a chiropractor or a physician, someone, a bigger team than just a massage therapy team. We want you to be moving your body in a way that is going to support that. But we can be an instrumental part of it, but we're not going to be, we can't fix you. You have to fix yourself. And I think that's one of the things that you're really interested in, Derek, about this whole idea of the whole community and what we can bring to the table, all of us, because it's really not just one person can fix everything.
Right. No, I fully think you're correct with that. It does take a team. Mm-hmm. What is like a typical client? What are they dealing with typically that you see that they come to you for?
Right. So a lot of times, especially with this particular clinic, a lot of times people will come in because they're in pain. We recently had someone come in, they had back pain, but it turned out that their back pain was a trigger point in their diaphragm because they'd had a cold and they had a lot of coughing, and there's a muscle that helps your body breathe called the diaphragm, and it can get trigger points as well. And so knowing how to access that area safely and help relieve that trigger point allows for relief so that you have easier breathing, and then your pain in the back goes away. But are you going to, maybe if you go to some of the spas in the area, you'll find someone with that training. Mm-hmm. You might. I'm not gonna say you won't in this area, because there are a lot of highly educated people that work at the different spas around here, but not always. And that's why I wanted to create the medical massage clinic, because I want the community to know that if they have pain, anyone here is gonna be able to help you. Not just Rebecca, not just Kelly, not just Tanya, not just the people that are here right now. Anyone I hire is gonna know how to treat that pain.
Yeah, it's perfect. I think you brought up a really great point about the trigger point phenomenon, and how, because one of the biggest misconceptions that I see is people think the area that hurts is the problem. And I'm sure you see this all the time, is often the area that hurts isn't the problem. It's coming from somewhere else, and trigger points can be the cause of that. Do you find that a lot with your client base, that the area that hurts doesn't seem like it's where the real dysfunction is?
Absolutely. And that's the thing that sets us apart. Is that, okay, someone comes in with pain in between the shoulder blade and the spine, mm-hmm. right? That's a very common ailment that people come in for. Well, I'm gonna treat the area because you'll probably have some tight tissue there, but most likely your pecs are gonna be tight. Some other shoulder girdle muscles are gonna be really tight. You may even have scalene, which are muscles in the front of the neck, trigger points that are throwing pain down to the medial border of the scapula. So there are a number of different things I'm gonna look for, and we're gonna look for here at the clinic, for that particular pain pattern, because it's not always just that. And if you only treat the middle part of the scapula and between the spine, it'll feel good, right? But in an hour, it's gonna come back and you're not gonna feel better. You're just gonna be like, oh, well, I felt better for an hour, mm-hmm. which is great, but I want you to feel better for days, if not weeks. Now, the days will be good because that'll be the resetting from the muscle tissue. For you to feel better for weeks, then you gotta go and see Derek and figure out your exercises so that you get more balanced across that shoulder girdle or the neck or whatever, wherever it is that dysfunction's going on. So many people will come in and will say that their neck is really tight, the back of their neck is really tight. Well, most of the time, anterior scalene and longus coli, these muscles in the front of the neck, until we release that, the rest of the neck isn't gonna float.
Yep, I gotcha. No, perfect, because I'm gonna ask you another question of what you find was the biggest misconception, but that's one of the things that I find, and maybe that's what you were gonna answer with the next question, is that the area that hurts, like it's, and I always tell patients that the area that hurts is often in pain because it's overworked, because somewhere else isn't working like it should.
Agreed.
Before I get into some other unique treatments that y'all do here, I do want to ask, what is one of the bigger misconceptions that you hear about your client base, or if they're considering massage? You know, one of the biggest misconceptions that you would like people to know.
So I do think that we have some people that come in and think that one massage is going to fix it. You know, I have this neck pain or low back pain or hip pain, and I just need a massage. I need you to work it out, you know, really work hard and push her. I can deal with the pain. So there's a couple different misconceptions in there. One is I don't want you to deal with pain when you're on my table or when you're on any of the tables in here. We're going to work with the nervous system right at the place where it hurts a little bit, like it hurts so good, but not actually hurts. Because then your nervous system is going to think it's under attack, and then later you're going to contract. And then you're never going to come back because you're like, oh my gosh, they hurt me. Well, yeah, we did. But that part is up to us as building a relationship. Therapist, client, we have to build a relationship of understanding how much pain is beneficial, how much pain is actually detrimental. So the communication there is really key to make sure we're not going too hard. Then the second piece is, one massage isn't going to fix anything, especially when it comes to pain, because if it's a chronic pain pattern and you've been building up to it for years, it may not take years as you know getting a massage for you to unwind it, but it's not going to be done in one. And again, it really comes to you becoming more, the client becoming more aware of how they're holding their body, what they're expecting their body to be able to do without proper training. And I think it really comes back to what you just said about an area either not firing properly when you're using it or overworked because the other area is exhausted. So a prime example of that is when you have hip pain and you have these muscles called glute medius and minimus that are overworked, and so you get this side kind of hip pain that runs down the side of the leg sometimes. Most of the time what I'm finding is those muscles are super tight, but it's because your glute max is absolutely turned off and it's not strong and it's not doing its job, and so all the other muscles in the hip are supposed to do its job and they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And so finding a way to strengthen, turn on, activate your glute max, that part, that's outside my scope. And so it's important as a massage therapist to know what is my purview and what is Derek's purview and what is the acupuncturist's purview and what is the physician's purview, and making sure that we take good care of the client and getting them back to the referral base that they need, because I'm not going to overstep because I might hurt the person. I'm not interested in that.
So can you talk a little bit more about pressing on somebody and it should hurt, but not to the point that it causes them to guard? Is that what you said?
Yes, yeah.
So what happens if, because I know that a lot of people want to go into massage and they say, hey, I want that deep tissue stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that that's the wrong way to look at it? Or can you talk a little bit more about what you meant by that?
Mm-hmm. Deep tissue does not mean heavy pressure.
Okay.
So there are some people that relax with heavy pressure. That's fabulous because it doesn't hurt. Right? So for people who want deep tissue, there's a misconception about deep tissue meaning heavy pressure. So I can get into your deep iliopsoas without pressing hard. So if I have a client who needs that type of really deep abdominal work but doesn't like heavy pressure, that's not a problem. So the pressure is always about what the client feels comfortable and safe and it feels good, right? Every once in a while when we hit a trigger point and there's irritated tissue, if it feels good, then that's the right pressure. Anytime it stops feeling good, we need to back it out. Anytime you feel like you're holding your breath a little bit, we need to back it out. Anytime you might be clenching your fist, even though I'm working in your glutes, we need to back it out, because those are all clues to say that that's just a little too hard. And you'll get a better benefit from massage or any soft tissue manipulation if you can ride the fence of just enough pressure.
Yeah, and you said something, I'm going to follow up a little bit with this too, because you said something else about, or at least I think you said this, or I might have said it in my own head, but a threat. Mm-hmm. It's a nervous system threat.
Absolutely.
And when somebody's pressing too hard on you and you feel pain and you can't relax through it, you're just not going to get the outcome that you want. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. You got it.
You also said, or I saw on your website, and we've been talking for a little bit here, but you treat TMJ. Can you talk a little bit? Because that seems very unique to a massage therapist. You're, in fact, the first massage therapist I believe I've ran into that treats TMJ. And so can you talk a little bit more about, I guess, the typical client you see with those type of symptoms?
Sure. So a client will usually present with pain on moving their jaw, whether it's in talking or chewing. Many of the clients we're seeing now are coming from their dentists. And normally, there are a number of ways that you can treat TMJ without having to do intraoral work. So intraoral work is when the massage therapist places a finger inside the mouth and works muscles inside the cheek. There's a muscle that's you track up towards the top of the teeth into the back of the mouth, and then another muscle that's back near the back of the throat. And so all of those are done, you know, in communication with the client, and we've got hand signals, and it's all set up so that the client always feels like they can get us out of there when it's not comfortable. But those, you know, the bulk of the work for TMJ release and support for when you're having that kind of dysfunction, you want to look at shoulder alignment. You're going to want to look at your neck alignment, and you're going to think about your stress levels. All of those aspects can create a problem with TMJ dysfunction. So most of our clients do come from the dentists, and we've been fortunate. Last year, I had my periodontist asked me to present what a massage therapist actually does for TMJ intraoral, because we had talked about it a little bit, and he was absolutely floored that I would stick my fingers in someone's mouth. And I'm like, well, you do it all the time. He goes, yeah, but I'm a dentist. And so I was able to go and present to about 15 dentists one evening, and it was fascinating because they were all absolutely kind and respectful and very interested. And, you know, sometimes when you go into an area, you're not sure, are they really that excited about it, or are they just here for dinner and the, you know, the education? But they were awesome, and they all had great questions, and we have been so fortunate to have some of those dentists send us some patients, and between the two of us figure out what's going on with some of their patients. So some of them, it was a combination of an occlusion where they had to go in and do something with their teeth, which is what dentists do. Some of them needed to create a bite guard, so it was less stress when they're sleeping at night. And then the combination was then that we would help release the muscles and the irritation regarding intraoral work and just the masseter on the outside and temporalis around the ears, etc. So it's been fascinating to get to be a part of that growing need in the community. And I remember when I first did my training in it about 5 or 6 years ago, I had a few patients of myself, my clients of myself when I was a solo practitioner, who was they were having intraoral problems and TMJD issues. And I was really interested in learning that intraoral, but it's not taught very much anymore. And I had the opportunity to study with someone. He is out of Maine, and his name is Tom Myers, and he's written a book on fascia, and it's just, he's a mover and a shaker in the massage world. And so I saw that he was coming close by, and I was like, I'm on it. I'm there. I don't care what else he's teaching. I'm in his in his class. And so I just felt really fortunate that I got to learn that particular work from, you know, one of the stars of the massage community in our country. And it's really been beneficial. I have a number of clients who just were regular clients already for me, and they would come on a monthly basis, and all of a sudden they're telling me about their jaw pain. I'm like, oh, dude, okay, so I learned this, and it's really neat. You want to try it? And they're like, okay. But over time, you know, everybody was like, afterwards, I only had one client that I had to shift on, but everyone else has been really, it's been very beneficial for. We don't do it every time they come in. We help them get through a specific bout of their issue, and then we went back to their normal stuff, but they always knew when they could come back. I had one client that came to me specifically for TMJ work a number of years ago, and we did the intraoral work and we did the normal kind of stuff. And it turned out that her issue was more that she needed to work on de-stressing her life because she was so stressed out that she just was clenching so much that there wasn't enough massage to help, mm-hmm. right? And massaging actually was overdoing it and it was making it worse. And so in conjunction with her dentist, we realized that actually the massage needed to be not in the mouth, not on all the muscles that do all that, focus on relaxation. And so that was a really humbling experience in the sense that sometimes you're where it is, it ain't, right? Mm-hmm. So even though her issue was, you know, she couldn't open her mouth very well and she was having a lot of trouble with TMJ, my job as her massage therapist was to do more relaxation work. And that over about 2 more months, that worked. Hmm.
So you, what do you see that comes with the TMJ problems? Because you said some things that kind of screamed out to me, some shoulder, neck, mm-hmm. things like that. But what do you see? Is that it doesn't seem, it's like when I see somebody for shoulder pain, it's never just a shoulder problem. When it comes to TMJ, what do you see that typically manifests with it?
Posture.
Okay.
Most of the time, it's chronic poor posture, and that then creates a dysfunction in how the jaw is being moved, because there's some muscles, digastric is a muscle that is on the hyoid and on the jaw, and when we're in this forward, head forward posture and slouchy shoulders forward, it causes the musculature underneath the jaw to pull funny, and so that creates tension on the lower jaw. So once you get your posture back up, that tension goes away from the lower jaw and it can float better in its joint. And so the posture police, right? That's we're out for good. we're actually here for your benefit, because it's not just your shoulders and your neck. And you know, I've had people come in with TMJ issues that also helped resolve some of their tinnitus, or tinnitus, I can never remember which way to pronounce it, but the ringing in the ears. And did the ringing in the ears go all the way away? No, not always, but it would improve it. I myself had a situation where I had some pretty big dental work, and after the dental work, my jaw was all wonky, and one evening right after the dental work, I got the ringing in the ears so loud, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to sleep. And I'm like, I know that this is just an electrical signal yelling at me, but holy cow, how do I get this to shush? And it didn't. So I just actually kind of meditated through and ignored it and was able to fall asleep. But then the next day, I'm like sticking my fingers in my mouth and all that. And then I actually went to Kelly, and she helped me with intraoral work and with my dentist and Kelly a few times. It resettled, but again, mine was from an acute situation because I'd had dental work, and so usually acute situations will resolve quicker. If you've had tinnitus or ringing in your ears for a long time, then again, just like any other kind of chronic issue, it will take longer to unwind, but there's a chance it could help. Mm-hmm. It just depends.
What about headaches? Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of people with headaches that have the TMJ going on as well?
A lot of the headache people we have are more migraines.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they'll have more of the trigger points in trapezius or SCM, a little bit in masseter, but more in temporalis that comes around, and suboccipital. So it's a different pattern. And usually what we try to do when we have someone that comes in with headache pain, we'll ask, okay, where do your headaches usually present? Because it gives us, it's this trigger point. We talked about trigger points earlier. The trigger point patterns for trapezius are different than the trigger point patterns for sternocleidomastoid or suboccipital. And so it gives us an idea, one, of where the trigger point might be, and then two, All right, so if suboccipitals are really tight and that's where the trigger point is, why are they tight? Why are we, you know, in this position? Is it because we have a head forward posture or whatever? So where else can we go to bring that head back into a more neutral position? So will we, in that first session of treating suboccipital, be able to reallocate everything in the neck to get you to be floaty? Probably not. Again, it's a treatment plan. It takes, when we have someone who's in some good pain, we like to try to see them once a week for 2 to 3 weeks to see if we can get ahead of that pain. Mm-hmm. And once we can, then create a new treatment plan of, okay, well, let's see, what else can we do? Do we need to continue down the body, or are we in a stable place and we're ready to go out time-wise? It really depends on each patient.
Gotcha. Yeah, perfect. And I don't think a lot of people, at least from my point of view, it might be different from you, but I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily think of muscle causing migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it, I'm sure you see it quite often in here, and I see it quite often where it is muscular.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like a typical presentation for a migraine that you say, I can treat that?
In my experience, it's been a combination of muscle and brain chemistry or blood pressure, right? So migraines are still so very enigmatic in the sense that there's not a, in my experience at least, there hasn't been a cut and dried way of knowing exactly why. Tension headaches, yeah, we can treat that. But once it's gone into migraine, we have a number of clients that come in who work with neurologists, but they come in regularly here too because it makes their migraines, like instead of having six in a week, they have one. And so that's an addition, like if they're just on medication, they've knocked it down from 20 a week to six. But then when they keep up with their massage and the muscle movements that they've been doing, then it goes from six to one. So again, we're seeing some pretty complicated cases. And mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if we've been fortunate enough yet to mainly have tension headache sufferers that come in and we just, bam, done. But the reality is that a true on migraine, at least the way it's been presented to me in the neurologist's understanding, is that there's a combination of neurological stuff going on in the brain that then causes this holding of the muscles. And so how much of it can we help? Is it a compensation from the muscles getting tight because of the migraine, or is it the muscles got tight and then caused the migraine? When I think of muscles getting tight and causing a headache, I think of that as a tension headache, which can be devastating and very painful. I'm not trying to say it's not as painful or super painful. And yes, tension headaches, we can absolutely help. But if it's a true on migraine, I try to be careful with that terminology just because in my experience, when I used to think that, oh yeah, I can hit migraines, no problem. But the reality is, well, yeah, the patient was on medication too. Okay. Okay, so here I am. I'm going to sit back here and just be support where I can.
Right. So what, if somebody's having a tension headache, and maybe I use the words wrong or the diagnosis wrong, but a tension headache, what's the symptoms of a tension headache that you're like, hey, I can treat that?
So pretty much if we can get the nervous system to settle a bit, right? So in massage is great for that. So massage, first of all, what I would try to do in setting this up is it's always going to be dependent on client pressure desire. If a client is in tension headache but they can't take deep pressure, then we don't do a whole lot of trigger point analysis and release because that would be overwhelming. So we would do more fascial release, which is a way to slowly open up an area so it can treat the trigger point without having to just press on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have someone that responds better with direct pressure, then I would warm the area up, treat the direct pressure, warm the area up again, and then iterate and say, all right, so how does that feel? Where are we at? You came in, you were a 7 out of 10. Is it a lower number? How are you feeling? And then we continue to work through in different areas. When you come in for a massage with me, usually there's a lot more talking because I'm trying to figure out where I need to go next.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've kind of gotten your acute pain under control and we are working on a maintenance program, to kind of keep you ahead of your pain, then that's when, all right, I've learned your system. I know pretty much what we're doing. I'll check in, make sure I know what's going on at the beginning of the session. I'll check in about pressure a few times. But that's usually when you either pass out or just relax into that nice zone, trancey place. And that's when it can be really relaxing as well. But when you're in that acute pain, I'm going to be checking in about pressure. I'm going to be checking in, okay, are you able to turn your head a little better? How are we doing there? So that, I guess that might be another misconception that people have, is that every single massage you come in and have a massage, you're like in La La Land. No, no. La La Land doesn't happen here until you've gotten through your chronic pain or acute pain.
Gotcha. I guess what I was trying to get at is attention headache. When somebody presents with, what symptoms are you thinking, hey, I can treat that? Does that make sense?
Mm-mm.
So like if somebody has a headache on one side, mm-hmm. or you said it, the tinnitus.
Yeah.
Or if they have a headache in the front, mm-hmm. or if it's all over.
Right.
At what point are you saying, if you know, hey, I can treat that, versus I maybe that's not within what I can do.
Gotcha. Okay. So most of the time, headaches that are presenting here are safe to treat. Whether or not they're helped by the massage, we'll see at the end. The types of headaches that are not safe to treat are like the thunderclap headaches. Headache that comes on all of a sudden, really super huge pain, and it's like, you know, bam, huge on it. That's, you go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You don't come to a massage for that. That potentially could be an aneurysm. There are a lot of really dangerous things could be going on. So I really love it when our clients come in and they've already been seen by their physician. They already know it's a tension headache because the physician has said, look, you know, it's a tension headache, go get a massage. Or however, they've been worked up. If you come in and you are presenting with sudden onset pain of any form that you don't have an explanation for and it's continuing to get worse, that's a contraindication to massage therapy, because it is outside our scope to know whether or not it's safe for you to get a massage. Mm-hmm. That's why we lean heavily on physicians out there who can diagnose. That's within their scope. So I think that is a really good verification of where we can help and where we really can't. It's gotcha. Important that people, when they come to get a massage, know what's going on. So another example of contraindication or when it's not safe to get a massage is if you have low back pain, but you know, and you think you might have a herniated disc. If you have nerve pain going around anywhere, until you've been seen by your physician, it's not safe to get a massage. Don't do it to yourself. Please don't do it to the massage therapist, because we want to help. We don't want to hurt. But it's really important that if you have a disc that's pushing up against a nerve, that you know that it's either stable or that you're in a place where you're okay for getting massage, because yeah, that's beyond our scope to diagnose that.
For those that don't know, what does a nerve pain feel like?
So the way I usually try to explain it, if you've not had nerve pain before, is most people have hit their funny bone, right? And so, or if you have this burning and tingling going down an arm or a leg or around the back. A lot of times when you have weird sensation coming from the back to around the front of the leg, that's usually a disc. It's not usually a trigger point. It doesn't usually wrap around as much. When you have pain that's going straight down, sometimes that's sciatic nerve pain, sometimes that's muscle tissue. So that one's a little bit harder to differentiate. But you know, burning, tingling, numbness, those are all things you want to have someone check, because that means a nerve is being impinged somewhere, whether by a disc or by a tight muscle or by a bone. Again, outside our scope, you need to talk to someone who can. And Derek, I don't know your scope. You might be able to do that, because I know when I had a pinched nerve and I had physical therapists help me with that as well. So it is likely in your scope. It's just not in ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can deal with that. We can diagnose it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about lymphatic. You treat lymphatic drainage here. Can you tell me more about, what got you started in that, first of all?
Okay. So I got started in that kind of sideways. And when I was working at the spa, we had an opportunity to work with a cosmetic surgeon So post cosmetic surgery, he wanted to send some of his patients over to get lymphatic drainage. And one of the people that was planning on doing all that had an issue come up and ended up having to leave the practice because she had something come up in her family. And so they looked at me and said, well, you've got medical massage, you do it. And I'm like, whoa, totally different training. What are you talking about? And they're like, well, you're smart, you can do it. And I'm like, okay. So I found training and I got trained, and that's how it started, was to support a business that I was working in, and I fell in love with it. So in the beginning, I was mainly just helping people, you know, you have Cool Sculpting or liposuction or something called Smart Lipo, et cetera. It's a smaller tube that helps take the fat out. You get swollen because you have all this healing you need to do. So Cool Sculpting is really interesting in the sense that the technique kills the fat cells, but then your lymph system has to clear it all. So in Cool Sculpting, they just kind of squish your fat together and freeze everything. And not everything, they're doing it on a time basis so that they're just mainly freezing your fat cells because you've got more water in there. So it's all science, woo! So anyway, but then there's no drainage besides what your body naturally does. And so you get a lot of swelling. Well, here comes a therapist that is trained in lymphatic drainage. And what we do is we activate the nodes in a certain place, and then we help flush the fluid towards the nodes so that your own, the lymph system is pretty much like the wastewater treatment. So when it rains really hard, all the waters go into our sewage system or our drains, our sewer drains, and it gets taken to the water treatment plant, it gets treated, and then it gets put back in the system. So the lymph system is a collection system. So anything that's any fluid or proteins that are in between the cells and it can't get back into the veins through the capillary bed, that's what the lymph system, the whole networking of lymph vessels will take all that fluid back into the cardiovascular system. So all that fluid, after it's been filtered through the nodes, looking for germs and pathogens and things that can kill, will dump all that back into the heart, and then the heart processes it back through the liver and the kidneys, and then you excrete it. So it's a really, so there's your science for today. Sorry, wake back up, everybody. But so what we do now, I started with the cosmetic surgery, but now I'm working with people post-cancer, people who don't have all their nodes in different areas. Like if someone has breast cancer, there are times when one node is removed to make sure it hasn't metastasized, or all the nodes in the axilla have been removed because it did metastasize. And now you don't have a good drain for the arm that was on the same side as the breast there. And so it doesn't drain properly. So now where does that fluid go? So that's what we help with. We help get that fluid to drain to a different nodal system, either the other arm or the leg crease or the inguinal area of the same side. It really just depends on the person's body and how it works. When we're taught how to do it, we're taught to go across the body and down to the other one, both of them, because usually the body will drain both ways. But I've had clients where it is one or the other and it's clear, but it didn't become clear until I've been doing it for about 5 years.
So is this something, and this is new to me, mm-hmm.
Sure.
We learned a little bit about it in school, but not enough to say, hey, I really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is this something that, if this someone comes to you for lymphatic drainage, is it something that they have to continually see you for? Or is it episodic?
It depends. If you have a swollen ankle because you twisted your ankle, that's acute, and usually the body can take care of that on its own, right? But you can help that along by doing some lymph drainage to reduce that swelling. If you have someone post-cancer who doesn't have those nodes there anymore, the goal is to teach the patient how to do it themselves.
Perfect.
And then if they have a flare or they find that they're not able to keep up with it on their own, then we set up a maintenance. Most people who have damage to the lymph system need constant care.
Okay, so you heard it from her. If you're getting lymphatic drainage help and they're not helping you learn how to do some work yourself, make sure you come and see Rebecca.
And there are times that I will put a class on if there's enough interest where I will take six people at a time. I don't want it to be a lot of people at a time, but and we can do health histories privately, and we can show you. I would be happy to teach you how to do it, because it's impossible to expect someone who has a lymph system that is not working properly to not teach them how to care for themselves. It's like telling someone to go running and not teach them how to run. Mm-hmm. Or telling someone that, you know, you have really tight calves, but, you know, good luck with that, and not teaching them how to stretch their calves. Mm-hmm. I'm getting heated. I get a little irritated about it. So I'm going to calm back down.
Yeah, and everybody should learn, like, if you can do it yourself, definitely.
Yeah. There are certain areas of the body that are hard to reach, but, you know, there are different tools we can play with and see if that helps you move the fluid. But a lot of times it's about learning how to get the nodes to activate, because once you get the pump started, then a lot of times it'll go. But it presents different ways. Some people, their nodes don't pump very well and they get really kind of sluggish. Other people, their nodes are fine, and it's just really the interstitial, the fluid that gets stuck in between the cells. Like some people have really swollen arms or legs, and they don't, even though the trunk is really well drained, and so the axilla and the groin area are draining well, so the nodes are doing well, but the actual initial lymphatics in the upper extremity are not doing their job. So learning how to treat that type of texture of the skin is complicated, mm-hmm. but fun and very rewarding when you can help someone learn how to treat their own body, because everybody's body is different. And I have some people who I have to teach them three different techniques because their tissue is presenting different ways. So it's not just that one person is going to get one type of modality or one type of stroke that's going to work everywhere on their body.
A lot goes into it.
Yeah.
We're not going to dive into this too much, but I did want to mention it. You and I were talking. So she actually has a colleague here that treats PTSD as well, or helps with PTSD.
Right.
Massage has been shown to affect it in a positive way. So if you are listening to this and you have a loved one or you have PTSD, definitely reach out to them, because they are starting to specialize in that area as well. If the listeners wanted to find you and they're more interested in learning more about you, where can they find more about you?
So we have a website, the Medical Massage Clinic of Durham.com. On that, it has our email address and our phone number. I'm a working owner, right? So I'm usually in session during the day. So if you want to find me, email is best. If you call, leave me a voicemail. I will get back to you, but it'll probably be the end of the day because I'll be treating my own patients at the time. But yeah, we're happy to talk to you about any of it. Normally what happens, if you call and leave a message, I will call back and go through your history with you, and then I'll help triage to see which therapist seems to be the best fit. We have bios on the website, so you can read about the different therapists that we have here. And if you feel comfortable, you know, oh yeah, exactly, I know right where I need to go, then we have an online scheduling system. So again, that is also on my website. So you just follow that link and you can pick the therapist name.
Perfect, perfect. All right, well, thank you so much for spending time with me. And if anybody's looking for, you know, because a lot of times I think people want a little bit more out of massage. They love the massage, but they think that there's something missing.
Sure.
And it seems like that's what your clinic brings, is it's just a little bit more directed towards what the patient needs. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out to Rebecca, and I really do appreciate you spending time with me.
Thanks, Derek. It's a pleasure.